friends.
I'm your host, Annette Weiser. Welcome to Lunchtime Conversations. We have such big news for you. The Florida Holocaust Museum, downtown St. Petersburg, Florida, is reopening. Yes, folks, it is reopening. This incredible museum has an incredible new leader, and I'd like to welcome Eric Stillman. He's the president and CEO of the Florida Holocaust Museum. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you, Nanette. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Eric, before we get into all the news of what's going on with the museum, give us the USA Today version of your background. I know that you worked with the National Symphony Orchestra at the John F. Kennedy Center, but tell us a little bit about where you've been and what brought you here.
Sure, absolutely. I think the highlights of my professional career include I've been the chief executive officer of three Jewish federations, one in New Orleans, one in Broward County, Florida, and one in Nashville, Tennessee. And during my career, I've had the opportunity to lead Jewish communities. I've had the opportunity to lead nonprofit organizations and done a tremendous amount of work in the general and broader community. For me, the opportunity to come here to St. Pete and to lead the Florida Holocaust Museum really encapsulated two key passions for me. One was to help fight anti-Semitism through Holocaust education, which I think is an underappreciated tool to do that. And secondly, to lead an organization as the CEO. So this was really, for me, a great fit. And to be able to move here to this community with my wife and myself, and we're thrilled to be here.
And we're thrilled to have you. So there are a number of things at the museum. Let's start, first of all, the grand opening is September 9th. And then on September 10th, tell us a little bit about that day. That's going to be free and open because of the Duke Energy Center.
Yes, absolutely. We are so grateful for Duke Energy to support us in making a free day, September 10th. We encourage all of your listeners to come out. We're open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. that day. Please just arrive by 4 p.m. to be able to be admitted during the free day. And we are welcoming people throughout the community. We think this is a great opportunity for people who've been to the museum before and to see the new and revitalized museum and the renovations and the expansion, as well as for those who've never been. I promise everybody it'll be well worth it to come out.
So we're going to talk about the core exhibitions in a little bit, but I want to talk about two very important, and I think this one is core. Tell us how the Weasel, Eli Weasel collection came to the museum, and it opens this September.
Absolutely. So the Weasel collection, which represents a trust from the family and foundation of Elie Weasel, an incredible humanitarian, Holocaust survivor, married to another Holocaust survivor, Marion Weasel, who's a very accomplished person in her own right. And the family and the foundation entrusted us with his personal and their personal artifacts, as well as from his offices and an incredible amount of original source material so that we could educate people about the legacy which the Weasel family and now the Weasel Foundation is entrusting to us.
And that is going to occupy the third floor of the museum, but it's going to come in a later phase of the ongoing building projects. Is that right?
That is correct. When we reopen in September, we will be having a taste of or a sneak peek of the Weasel collection, which will be on our second floor. And then in our next phase of our capital project, we will be completely overhauling our third floor in order to turn it into the Weasel experience, which will be the full and complete opportunity to experience all that the Weasel collection has to offer.
You know, we weren't a world-class museum before. The Florida Holocaust Museum is going to take its place among globally recognized museums. So now then there's on a lighter note, I'll have what she's having, the Jewish Deli. Tell us a little bit about this exhibit, which also opens in September.
That is correct. It's a fun exhibit in the sense that normally when people come to a Holocaust museum, they don't necessarily think about deli, which is a fun sort of food. And the reason being, and I asked this question when I arrived, which is why are we showing this traveling exhibition from the Skirball Museum, Jewish Museum in Los Angeles? And the answer is because the food that we think of here in the United States as deli food are foods that were familiar to the Jews and those both who survived and those who did not survive from the Holocaust, foods that were classically Eastern European fare. And so I'll Have What She's Having is a way to both honor that gastronomic legacy and also with a nod to our local connection for Jewish delis here in St. Pete as well.
You know, one of the things that I remember from the museum I'm very excited about is you can connect with history in a way that is amazing. The dimensions and testimony from the USC Shoah Foundation. Tell us a little bit about this. It's only at the time, it was only one of 12 museums in the world to host this unique experience.
Well, it is remarkable how these amazing Holocaust survivors sat for a week long, day after day, of being interviewed so that the technology could store all of their answers. And this allows for an interactive experience for visitors. You can actually have a conversation, ask questions, and hear answers back from the Holocaust survivors. We have four local Holocaust survivors who were recorded and whose interactivity is made possible through the dimensions and testimony. So even though some of those Holocaust survivors have subsequently passed away, because of dimensions and testimony, their lessons and the messages they have to share live on and are interactive for people to come and experience.
You know, we know about Schindler's List, but I learned something, and I can't wait to see this, about the Danish who helped a 1943 rescue of over 7,000 Jews. And I think you have this boat, the Thor.
Yes, it is remarkable. I can tell you that not only is Thor, the Danish fishing boat, a remarkable addition to the exhibition for the Florida Holocaust Museum, how the boat was brought to us is another remarkable story. And thanks to two incredible, wonderful members of our local community, Irene Weiss and Margot Benstock, they found and brought to this community Thor, the Danish fishing boat, which has been verified is an authentic vessel that was used during this rescue of Danish Jews who were spirited out from Denmark to Sweden during the Holocaust to save their lives. And that these Jews, in many cases, were having to hide under the deck of the boat and being covered with fish to throw off the scent of the dogs used by the Nazis to try and find any smuggling of Jews out of Nazi-controlled Denmark to be able for them to get out and get to Sweden, which was neutral during the war and allowed them safe passage to get there. So it is an incredible story, and the juxtaposition of Thor next to the boxcar is so striking because the boxcar is so tall, towers over you, represents fear and death, and the people who were on it were sent to the gas chambers and concentration camps and death camps. And next to it is Thor, the Danish fishing boat, which represents hope and a future.
I love that juxtaposition. Thank you so much, Eric, for sharing that with us. The History, Heritage, and Hope is another permanent exhibition. And in this, you see the original artifacts, video, and photographs of what life was like before World War II and how it changed under the Nazi occupation. You know, I know when I did Precious Legacy, just seeing the shoes, a room full of shoes, just struck me down. Tell us a little bit about this. And folks, again, the museum is reopening on the 9th. Tell us a little bit about the permanent, and then we're going to go to some other aspects of what you do.
Absolutely, Nanette. And I will tell you that the permanent exhibition, which, as you referenced, History, Heritage, and Hope, has been revitalized and new information has been added to it. So even those folks from your listeners who may have been to the museum previously, it'll be very exciting to come back. The museum, because of the addition of Thor, has changed the format and the flow of the original core exhibition. We moved our interior staircase. So there's been a lot of physical changes and a lot of additions, as I said, to the core exhibition. So it's going to be very well worth it for repeat visitors to come back. And of course, for people who've never been before, it's such a wonderful, important education. And for those people who haven't learned the lessons of the Holocaust, who haven't, or maybe who forgot them, or we can see in our society around us that those lessons don't seem to be applied the same way as we need them to be. And so I think it's really important for folks to come out to learn and to come away with increased knowledge and understanding as a result of coming to the Florida Holocaust Museum.
You know, for those who might think that the Holocaust was a make-believe thing, I think that one of the most important things you do, and it's not really stressed enough, is resources for educators, resources for students, teaching trunks, field trips. Tell us a little bit about your education initiative.
Absolutely. We have an incredibly robust educational program. Of all the things you mentioned, the school groups that come, the chance for children, I believe, between 5th and 12th grades as part of Florida mandating Holocaust education gives us an opportunity to bring students to the museum and for them to really learn and have a fabulous experience. Now, I can also tell you that the interaction they have with our docents, many of whom either have been survivors, are the children or grandchildren of survivors, those who have really studied and become deep in the knowledge of Holocaust education, provide these children, these students, with a meaningful experience, one which they could not get simply by going online or reading in a book all by themselves. They really need the interactivity. They need to see the exhibits, and they need to be able to have conversations so that they know that if they've got questions, that it's okay. It's good to ask questions and to try and understand and to grapple with these issues.
There's so much online hate that kids and are exposed to, and we recently saw this in Minneapolis with an anti-Semitic diatribe and a Nazi enthusiast and a young person. I think it's amazing that you do this and you bear witness to history. I also think it's amazing that you have a law enforcement and society lessons of the Holocaust. You know, as people, as you see hate crimes in the community, whether they're against any race, this kind of training is so on the cusp. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, absolutely. We are committed entirely to providing this education, this training, because just as we need to make sure that our school children understand the lessons of the Holocaust, it's really important that members of law enforcement also have that appreciation, that awareness and sensitivity, because in many cases, they did not receive that background growing up. They may not have received it during the academy or wherever they got their training for law enforcement. And we really want to make sure that they're educated and they're aware so that when they're doing their work in the community, that they're better prepared to handle these issues and apply the lessons of the Holocaust in the work that they do day in, day out to protect and serve in our community.
Yes, never again is really the mission. And so, folks, there's so much going on. There's the reopening of the Florida Holocaust Museum, downtown St. Pete, and I'll give you that address at 55 5th Street South, St. Petersburg, Florida. I'll have all the information on our article. The reopening is on the 9th, 2 to 5. On the 10th is the Duke Energy Free Day. On the 20th is 10 to 5 St. Pete Museum Free Day. Please go to the website for Florida Holocaust Museum, www.thefhm.org, to get details. And now we have some other interesting things. You've upped your events. Lots of things going on. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. We have a variety of events. We're really honestly trying to make the Florida Holocaust Museum and our public programs enticing to a wide diversity of folks with different backgrounds, with different interests. And so whether you're interested in yoga, whether you're interested in online hate, whether you're interested in magic or film, we have a variety of activities going on throughout the whole year. And we really look at this as an academic year, so it stretches into the rest of 2025, into calendar year 2026. And we want people to come and experience all that we have to offer.
I love that you're going to work with the Girl Scouts, Spreading the Butterfly Effect, on October 5th. This one, October 22nd, folks, I know that we look forward to perhaps rebroadcasting this. How to Win an Information War, the propagandist who outwitted Hitler, and I can't say his name, is Peter Pomerantsev, to learn about Sefton Delmar, the anti-Nazi propagandist. That's amazing. And then our friends at the Zubrick Magic Theater are going to host an evening of magic with Joshua Jay, who weaves magic with the legacy of Holocaust survivor Werner Reich, as seen at Carnegie Hall. This is just incredible programming. Well, more to come?
Thank you, Nanette. Yes, so much more to come. And we're working on additional programming for November and December and going forward. And truly, there is much about the Florida Holocaust Museum, which is new and fresh and exciting. And for those people who say, well, you know, that's for my grandparents' generation or my parents' generation, I promise you it is for today's generation, all people of all backgrounds.
Thank you. And if they want to get involved, folks, you know, the museum is a nonprofit, so there's lots of ways to get involved. But beyond donations, volunteers needed.
Absolutely. We need volunteers. We want visitors. It's really important for people, for starters, just to come and visit if they haven't already. We encourage people to volunteer. We encourage people to support the museum. And we really want people to become ambassadors for the museum and to tell their friends, tell their family, and have people come visit, whether they're from out of town or they're local or just somebody who happens to be coming through St. Pete.
So, folks, connect with history and visit a TripAdvisor top-rated U.S. museum. The Florida Holocaust Museum, refreshed, rejuvenated, opens its arms new. Eric, thank you so much for being on Radio St. Pete.
Well, thank you, Nanette. It's my pleasure.
I'm your host, Nanette Weiser. Tune in next time for another tour of a fabulous arts and cultural institution in Tampa Bay.